外昆塔之音，服务源于聆听。各位尊敬的奉献者，大家早上好。今天是2020年8月15号星期六，我们非常荣幸的邀请到今夜的萨迪亚 Deva Prabhu 为我们讲述今天的早课。感谢大家的聆听。Hare Krishna。
Hare Krishna, good morning to all the devotees in China.
Hare Krishna, 中国的奉献者们，大家早上好啊。
So this is our second class now that we're having on Srimad Bhagavad Gita.
然后今天这一次讲课是我们关于圣典《薄伽梵歌》的第二次讲课。
So last week we discussed the history of Bhagavad Gita and a little bit of the introduction and some verses from the Gita Mahatmya.
在上个星期的讲课中，我们介绍了一点点关于《薄伽梵歌》的历史，然后关于它的这样一个背景，然后以及引用了谈到了《Gita Mahatmya》当中的一些细节。
And that discussion generated a lot of questions.
然后上周的讲课就产生了很多的问题。
Which I'm so encouraged because devotees are they appreciate and they are so interested in Bhagavad Gita.
而我对大家提出的这些问题感到倍感极大的鼓舞，因为这表明奉献者们对于薄伽梵歌真的是有很多的这种就说是喜爱以及想去了解它。
Yeah, and the Bhagavad Gita is the foundational book, you know, for the Hare Krishna movement.
薄伽梵歌对于 Hare Krishna 运动来说是根基性的一本书籍。
So anyway, we still have 8 questions left from last week.
然后上个星期剩下了八个问题。
So I was going to, and I only have 1 hour today.
不过今天的话，我只有一个小时的时间。
So I thought we'd spend this hour just answering questions. If you have a question, as I'm answering questions, you can send them in, and we can see how far we get.
如果大家在听课的过程中也还出现了问题的话呢，请把问题发上来，我们可以看一看这个问题是今天能够回答到，还是得等到下个星期。
And then our next meeting will begin looking at the first chapter.
然后我们下一次的相聚的话呢，就会一起来看一看薄伽梵歌的第一章了。
And so last week I gave everyone homework assignment to study chapter 1 and verse 1 in purport.
上个星期给大家布置的作业是一起来学习薄伽梵歌的第一章的第一诗节。
And also I'm asking everyone, humbly asking everyone, and you can choose to follow or not,to read the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita every day and become very, very familiar with it as we're spending time looking at the chapter.
然后并且的话，我也非常谦卑的请求大家，然后大家可以选择来参与或者是不参与，然后谦卑的请求大家能够在我们学习了解薄伽梵歌第一章的过程中，能够每一天来阅读第一章的所有的诗节，然后这样的话就可以非常熟悉整个第一章了。
Yeah, so personally, when I read Prabhupada's books, my motivation is not so much to gather the information and remember it.
而就我个人来说，阅读帕帕的书籍。我的动机倒并不是为了就是收集很多的这些讯息知识，然后需要去记忆，要去了解记忆这些知识和信息。
Yeah, because of course the knowledge is there and we want to understand it, but it also because it's sacred and it's scripture, it also we can actually only understand it by revelation.
因为知识虽然是在那儿，然后我们是需要去理解知识的，但是的话呢，由于这是一门神圣的科学，神圣的知识，因此的话呢，它实际上是通过揭示来使得我们能够最终得以理解的。
And just like the holy name reveals himself to us when we chant with humility and attention.
正如圣名是当我们能够以谦卑和专注来念诵圣名的时候，圣名就会向我们揭示他本身。
Krishna's words are revealed to us when we humbly respect them and just want to associate with them.
同样的，那么 Krishna 的话语也是当我们非常谦卑的来阅读和聆听 Krishna 的话语，然后并且和他的话语一起联谊的时候，那么他的话语才能向我们揭示出来。
And then when we also consider how do I apply this teaching in my life today?
并且的话，我们还会去思考，我怎样能够把这门教导运用在今天的生活之中呢？
So, in that mood, read Bhagavad Gita just to associate with Krishna and with Prabhupada and all the great acharyas.
因此我们以这样的一种心态来阅读《博伽梵歌》，那就是我们是在和 Krishna 联谊，是在和帕帕联谊，是在和所有伟大的 Acharya 们一起联谊的这样一种心态来阅读《博伽梵歌》。
And then serve Bhagavad Gita, serve the Acharyas by applying Bhagavad Gita in our life.
并且通过运用，通过在生活中运用博伽梵歌的教导来服务博伽梵歌，来服务所有的 Acharya 们。
So I'm going to chant Jaya Radha Madhava and then we'll begin answering questions left from last week.
好，所以我现在来唱 Jaya Radha Madhava， 然后就一起来回答上个星期的问题。
Okay. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Balava Giri Vanadari Gopi Jana Balava Girivanadari Yasoda Nandana Vraja Jana Rajana Yasoda Nandana Vraja Jana Rajana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Adi Gopi Jana Balava Giri Vanadadi Yasoda Nandana Vraja Jana Rajana Yasoda Nandana Vraja Jana Rajana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Nadi Sita Gopi Nanda Hari Hari Bo. Okay, Narayani son, what is the first question?
Okay, let's get into it. 我们来看一看上个星期剩下的第一个问题。第一个是这个一串数字222开头的奉献者问：顶拜咕噜，感谢翻译，请问我们如何辨别什么是 Krishna 的安排，还是我们自己的个人愿望？特别是发生一些事之后，有些奉献者说这是业报，有些则会说这是 Krishna 的安排。我们如何正确理解自己的境遇？再次感谢咕噜和翻译。Oh, so this devotee here is offering his or her obeisances unto you and asking that how can we differentiate what is Krishna's arrangement and what is our personal desires, especially after some events or incidents happening, and some devotees would say, oh, this is your karma. But some other would say that this is an arrangement of Krishna.So how can we understand properly about our situations? Thank you.
That's a very good question. I think we all have that question.
我认为您问的这个问题是个非常棒的问题，我想所有人的话都会有这样的疑惑出现。
Well, one thing we can observe is that many things, maybe most things, happen in our life that are beyond our control.
有一点我们可以观察到的是，那就是我们人生当中发生的很多事情，或者是绝大多数的事情，都是超过了我们的控制范围之外的。
And there are a few things that are within our control, but not much.
而当然确实也有一些事情是处于我们的控制范围之内，只不过的话呢，这些我们可以去控制的事儿往往并不是很多。
Also we can understand that whatever happens to us to our mind and our body I should say is a result of past previous thoughts, words and actions.
当然我们还可以理解的一点就是无论发生在我们身上什么确切的来说就是指无论在我们的心里和在我们的身体中发生的任何的事物，那都是我们先前的所有的念头言语和行为所带来的结果。
Even that is a very simplified view of a more complex reality.
然而的话呢，即便是这样的理解，也是一种关于更more complex reality， 也是对于一种更加复杂的现实的精简的解读、精简的一种理解而已。
Yeah, because a lot of what we think, a lot of what we say, and a lot of what we do is just a program, like a software that we've been downloaded from our parents.
因为实际上我们所思考的、所想的很多的东西，我们所说的很多的话语，以及我们所做的很多的事情，实际上就像是一个程序一样，就相当于是软件一样，是我们从自己的父母那里所下载下来的一种软件程序。
Yeah, and even our body genetically is a download of not only our parents, but, you know, the complex tree of ancestry.
而甚至我们的身体也是从基因的角度来说，也是从我们的父母，甚至是从整个这样一个非常复杂的家族族谱。这样一棵大树一样的这种家庭成员、家人这样遗传下来的。
Yeah, so often even our own desires, what we think we want, is just something that's coming from all of these different forces.
因此我们实际上我们认为自己所渴望、所想要得到的一些东西的话，我们认为是自己想要的，但实际上却是来自于。刚才提到的那些很复杂的各种各样的因素，各种各样的力量，是来自于这些的。
Yeah, and so like Krishna says in chapter 14, verse 19.
就像 Krishna 在《薄伽梵歌》第十四章的第十九诗节说到。
He says, when one properly sees that in all activities no other performer is at work,Then these three modes of material nature, and he knows it's the Supreme Lord who is transcendental to all these modes, he attains my spiritual nature.
14:19, 当人正确地认识到在所有活动之中除了这些物质自然三形态外再无其他活动者，而且知道至尊主超越于这些形态之上时，即可到达我的灵性本性。
Yeah, so,Many of the choices we make, many of the words we say, many of the thoughts we have, many of the actions we take are simply the modes of material nature working.
因此的话呢，我们所做出的许多的选择，所说出的许多的话语，所出现的许多的念头，以及所采取的许多的行动，都只不过是物质自然三形态在运作而已的所带来的结果。
And so here we're just talking about the individual consciousness. What to speak of the collective consciousness of a nation or a planet?
而在这里我们所谈到的只是个体或叫个人的这样一种知觉的状态，那更何况更不用提那些集体的知觉状态，或者叫集体意识，或者比如说一个国家，甚至整个地球的这样一种集体的知觉或意识状态呢？
So the factors in result in an action and a reaction is quite complex.
The factors in that result of action and reactions are quite complex, right?
Yes.
因此的话呢，这种引发作用与反作用，对，引发作用和反作用的这些因素，实际上是非常非常复杂的。
There's something else to consider about action. Krishna mentioned in chapter 18, verse 14.
Krishna 在博迦梵歌十八章的十四十节的话呢，也提到了一些关于行动的事儿，是我们值得去考虑的。
He said the place of action, the body, the performer, the various senses, and the various different kinds of endeavor, and ultimately the super soul are the five factors of all action.
18.14，活动场地，也就是躯体。活动者各种感官种种努力最后便是超灵这些都是活动的五种要因
Yeah, so ultimately this verse is saying that whatever happens ultimately is, can only happen by the sanction of the super soul
因此这个诗节说到底归根到底便是在说无论发生什么那么最终这件事情都是由于有超灵的批准才能得以发生的。
And Krishna says something very similar in chapter 13.
Krishna 在博迦梵歌十三章也说了一句非常相似的话。
And he talks a lot about the super soul.
当他谈到超灵的时候他说了一句非常相似的话。
I'm looking for the verse.
我来找这个诗节。
Oh, yes. Look at chapter 13, verse 23.
我们一起看到十三章二十三诗节。
Upadrashtanumantacha Bhartabhokta Maheshwara Pramiti Chapyukto Deshman Purusha Para Yet in this body there is another, a transcendental enjoyer who is the Lord, the Supreme Proprietor, who exists as the overseer, permitter, and who is known as the Super Soul.
但在这个躯体中还有另一超然的享乐者他就是主至高无上的拥有者以监察者和准许者的身份存在被称为超灵
So the question was you know, how do we know when something happens if it's we've created it you know if it's a fulfillment of our desire that we've created or it's an arrangement of the Supreme Lord Is that the question?
Just say that how karma or Krishna's arrangement, how to differentiate that, or also he says that how to differentiate what is Krishna's arrangement and what is our personal desires. Maybe that's what you said, the fulfillment of our personal desires.
Yeah, so, you know, ultimately Krishna is the overseer and permitter.
So,刚才给 Guru 重复了那个问题然后所以说Guru 就接着说到 Krishna 是最终的这个监察者和准许者
And according to karma Krishna is fulfilling everyone's desire
并且 Krishna 是根据业报来满足 Guru Maharaj so to understand correctly you're saying that Krishna fulfills our desires according to our karma right
Well, he's fulfilling everyone's desire.
Yeah, he is, Krishna is fulfilling everyone's desires according to everyone's karma. This is what you're saying, right?
Yes.
嗯，所以 Krishna 是根据我们每一个人，是根据每一个人的业报来满足每一个人的愿望的。
At the same time, sometimes our desire and are in conflict with each other.
但同时的话呢，在某些时候，我们的愿望却是和他人的愿望是有冲突的。
Yeah, we're desiring pure devotional service, yet at the same time, we're desiring to fulfill the desires of our material mind and ego. I mean, material mind and body.
我们渴望能够去获得纯粹的奉献服务，但同时的话呢，我们也渴望能够去满足我们物质的躯体和心意的愿望。
And it's also said that for a devotee who surrendered to Krishna, there is no more karma.
但同时也说到，对于那些已经臣服于 Krishna 的奉献者来说，他们是没有业报的。
So sometimes,Krishna will fulfill our desire and sometimes he won't.
所以说有些时候 Krishna 会满足我们的愿望，有些时候则不会。
But his motivation is to try and help us awaken and let go of our material attachments and fully surrender to him.
Fully surrender to him. 但是的话呢， Krishna 的意图却是为了帮助我们能够得以觉醒，能够放下我们对物质的执念，能够真正的完全的觉醒开来。
Yeah, so oftentimes, you know, just like the king who wanted to have a child but couldn't have a child, even though he had hundreds and millions of queens.
所以很多时候这就有点像我们都知道那个故事，就是那个拥有了很多很多妻子的国王。他即便有这么多的妻子的话，但他还是想要有自己的孩子。
So Narada Muni appeared, great sage, and he asked Narada Muni, "What can I do to get the Lord to give me a son?"
然后 Narada Muni 这位伟大的圣人就出现在他面前，然后这位国王就询问 Narada Muni， 就我怎么样做？才能够使得主能够满足我的愿望，给我一个孩子呢。
And so at the same time, this king was a devotee.
但同时的话，这位国王也是一位奉献者。
And so, Narada Muni told the king, "You have the sacrifice, and you give your queen this prasadam, and then she'll conceive a child, and you'll have a child."
然后Narada Muni就对这位国王说，你需要去进行一些祭祀，然后并且的话呢，你要把这一些 prasadam 给予你的皇后，给予你的妻子们，然后他们就会得以给你，他们就会能够给你诞育一个孩子了。
And then, you know, after a few months, or after 9 months, the queen conceived, and then, birthed a very healthy,what appeared to be a very healthy male child.
然后过了九个月之后，他的王后然后就生下了一个看上去非常健康的儿子。
And so the name of the child is Harsha Soka.
然后孩子的名字叫做 Harsha Soka,
which means happiness and distress.
而 Harsha Soka 的意思就是指幸福和不幸的意思。
Yeah, so the king was jubilant, you know, at the birth of his son.
所以说当孩子诞生出来的时候，这位国王真的是欣喜若狂。
But the other queens of the palace became envious of the queen who had a son.
而但是的话呢，他由于这个国王他有很多的妻子，很多的皇后，就是那些没有生下孩子那些王后们就非常的嫉妒这个生了孩子的这个女人。
So they poisoned the little boy.
于是的话呢，这些嫉妒心充满嫉妒的这些皇后们就给这个孩小孩小男孩就下毒。
And then he died.
于是这小男孩就死掉了。
And the king was so depressed he wanted to die.
而这个小孩子的死，然后 完全摧毁了这个国王，就使得他甚至萌生了这种自杀的念头。
And then Narada Muni, he brought the child back to life.
但是随着之后呢，这个 Narada Muni 却把这个小孩让他再次复活了。
Just so the soul of that baby could instruct the king in transcendental knowledge.
然后 Narada Muni 之所以让这个孩子复活，是为了使得这个小孩子的灵魂能够得以去训示这位国王，给予他灵性上的知识。
Yeah, so when our material desires are not fulfilled, or we get what we want, or then we lose it, then we lose faith in the material world, and we're ready to hear transcendental knowledge and go back home, back to Godhead.
因此的话呢，对于我们来说，也就是当我们的一些物质愿望得到了满足，但是得到满足之后，我们却紧接着又失去了这些物质上的东西，于是的话，我们也就会失去对于这个物质世界的信心，或者叫信念，就觉得根本就无法能够满足我们的愿望，由此的话，我们就会有更多的这种意愿想要去聆听超然的讯息，超然的知识，然后得以最终回归到灵性世界。
So actually, the devotee doesn't see any aspect of his life as separate from the will of the Lord.
实际上奉献者是不会把他人生当中的任何一个方面看作是和主的意愿相分离的。
Looking back, a devotee can see that everything that's happened to him in his life or her life, everything that has happened, every person you've met, everything that they've done, good or bad, everything is about helping you to discover who you are in your relationship with God. That's the purpose.
而如果奉献者回望自己的过去的话呢，就能够看到在这一生中无论发生了什么，在这一生中无论是做了怎样的或好或坏的事情，然后或者是遇到的每一个人，其发生的目的都是为了帮助奉献者能够去发现他真正的自我，去发现他和 Krishna 之间的关系。
Yeah, so whatever happens and whoever we meet, we don't have to try and figure out, you know,is this being done by me, or is this the arrangement of the Lord?
因此无论在我们身上发生什么，无论我们遇到怎样的人，我们实际上是不用去努力想要去弄明白到底这个事情，这个事情或者这个人的出现是由于我的原因呢，还是由于是 Krishna 的安排。
Rather, we should try and understand the meaning. How is this meant to help me to awaken? How is this meant to help me to surrender to Krishna.
而相反的话，我们应该努力的去明白这件事情的意义，或者这个人出现的意义。那么，这个事情或者这个人是怎样能够帮助我来得以觉醒的？是怎样能够帮助我来向主臣服的
？So here, Brahma in the Srimad Bhagavatam, he describes the attitude of a devotee, how the devotee sees his life.
在博迦瓦坛中 ，Brahma 主梵天，然后就谈到了这样的一种心态。How the devotee
sees his life and sees the Lord working in his life。
奉献者是怎样看待他的人生，是怎样看待主是在how in his life that the
Yeah, how the devotee can see the Lord working in his life, and also how the devotee can understand his own karma.
然后就描述这样一种心态，然后就是奉献者可以如何去看待主是如何在他的生活中，起作用的，然后以及他自己的这个业报。
So this is Canto 10, Chapter 14, Verse 8.
也就是博迦瓦坛的第十篇第十四章的第八十节。
Do you want to look it up?
Yes, I'm looking it up now.
Tatenu kampam sushimikshamano bhunjane vatmakritam vipakam Ridvag vapur bir vididam namaste jiveti yo mukti padesa dayavak. My dear Lord, one who earnestly waits for you to bestow your causeless mercy upon him, all the while patiently suffering the reactions of his past misdeeds and offering you respectful obeisances within his heart, words, and body, is surely eligible for liberation, for it has become his rightful claim.
博加瓦坛第十篇第十四章第八十节，我亲爱的主啊，一个人热切地期盼着您能够把您无缘的仁慈赐予给他，且同时的话还耐心十足地忍受着他过往错误行径所引发的反应，并且同时还以他的心、言语和身体来向您献上对您充满敬意的顶拜，那么这个人必然有资格获得解脱，因为这已经成为他正确的或者叫做他的权利的这样一种获得。
So in the purport to this verse, Srila Viswanath Chakravarti Thakur, he writes something.
在这个诗节的要旨中， Srila Viswanath Chakravarti Thakur 写了几句比较值得注意的话。
So the devotee is under the Lord's care, so technically he doesn't have karma anymore.
他说到奉献者实际上是处于主的关怀关照之中，因此严格来说奉献者是没有业报的。
So whatever happens in a devotee's life, it may appear to be karma, but it's actually orchestrated by the Lord in order to help him go back to Godhead.
所以说无论在奉献者身上发生什么，那么看起来这发生的事情可能是他的业报，但是的话实际上却是由 Krishna 所指挥的，所指导的怎样的一个事情，整个的这样一件事情来帮助奉献者得以觉醒，得以回归受身。
So often we hear the devotees pray that, you know, they're suffering some reaction, but the Lord has minimized the reaction, kindly minimized the reaction, and at the same time is instructing them through this reaction.
所以很多时候我们可能会听到，就是奉献者会说到就是他们确实是遭受了自己的遭受了自己过往行为的一些反作用，一些就是这些后果，但同时的话呢，至尊主却也极大的减少了他们所遭受的这些业报，所遭受的这些反应，然后非常仁慈的替他们减少了这方面的这种痛苦和状况。Sorry, Guruji, what's the last sentence? I forgot.
Well, the Lord has arranged, you know, given us
instruction
in order to instruct us.
所以说 Krishna 就是在通过这样的一种事件，通过这种反应的话呢，来给予奉献者训斥。
So if we have this vision, really, we can give up all our resentments and all our grudges we have towards others who we think have harmed us or hurt us.
所以如果我们真的有这样的一种视域的话，我们有这样的一种视角的话，那么我们就能得以放下对其他人的一些怨恨和对这种怨恨，放下对他们的怨恨。因为我们可能认为这些人伤害了我们，然后对我们伤害了我们啊等等的，然后所以就对他们有这种怨恨，所以就会放下对他们的怨恨。
Yeah, we're not meant to stay in the material world. We're meant to get out of here.
我们注定不是要待在这个物质世界的，而是要离开这个物质世界的。
And really, our whole experience here is meant to help us understand that truth.
而我们在这个物质世界的所有的体验、所有的经历，都是旨在能够帮助我们得以去。To help us to
understand the truth. No, help us understand the truth that our purpose is not to stay here, but to get out of here.
而我们在这里的所有的体验所有的经历都是为了帮助我们能够去明白这个真相明白这个真理那就是我们注定不是要一直待在这里而是要离开这里了
yeah, So holding on to grudges and resentments the only person we're hurting is ourselves
所以说仅仅抓住对某一个人的这种怨恨不愿放手的话实际上我们唯一伤害的却只是我们自己而已
Anyway, I gave a really, really long, complex answer to that question
关于这个问题的话呢我给到了这样一个如此长的一个比较复杂的一个回答
I hope it's satisfactory
我希望这个回答能够让您满意 Okay, next one
Yeah
好，我们来看下一个问题。Sri Gandhava Gandhavika Mataji 问：感恩咕噜，感恩翻译。刚才提到冲突，还想请咕噜帮助讲一下冲突的定义和都包含了些什么内容？这冲突指的就是危机吗？So this Mataji here is offering her gratitude, and she was asking last week you talk about conflicts. So could you please define the definition of conflicts and what does the conflicts what do conflicts include so you mean like conflicts refer to crises
well we can have conflict with ourselves we can have conflict with others we can have conflict basically it's you know when we don't agree or we want something that we can't get or we get something that we don't want there's conflict
okay 所以说冲突的话呢可以是指我们和自己的冲突也就是内心的冲突或者是我们和其他人之间的关系当中的冲突也就是比如说基本上就是我们不同意彼此的意见呢、啊、然后或者是想要从另一个人那里得到一些东西但是却得不到或者是从另一个人那里得到的东西是我们不想要的那么此时的话冲突就会发生
Yeah, so it's any time we don't get what we want or we get what we don't want
And conflicts arise
Mm-hmm. Well, within ourselves.
Within ourselves. Okay. 所以说，总的来说就是，任何时候，当我们没有得到我们想要的东西，而我们得到的却是自己不想要的东西，那么我们的内心就会有冲突出现。
Right. We want to go outside and play, but it rains.
比如说，我们想出门去玩，然后结果下雨了。
Then we generate negativity within, and we curse the weather.
然后的话内在就出现了产生了一种很消极负面的一些东西然后就觉得就诅咒这个天气然后诅咒这天气跟反正就是不如我的愿。
And, we're walking down the street and we trip over a tree root and then we kick the root and curse it and hurt ourselves while we're kicking it. That's conflict.
然后或者是再举个例子我们走在路上然后结果突然间由于这个没看到路上的一根树枝然后把自己给绊倒了然后绊倒以后的话呢起来非常的生气然后就去踢这个把我们绊倒的树枝然后结果又把自己的腿给撞着了所以这也是一种冲突的一种表现
It means to be in opposition to what is
OK, 所以说冲突的话呢指的就是指我们对当下所发生的事物的这样一种反对或者是抗拒的这样一种状态。
Yeah, so, you know, individuals are in conflict, nations are in conflict.
就人与人之间处于冲突之中国家和国家之间处于冲突之中。
Yeah, so it's, you know, you have to be specific, really.
所以说这个就是您问到的这个冲突的定义的话呢就需要具体的来看了
Yeah, so just a general, you know, we can look up conflict in the dictionary
所以说的话呢，还可以去如果从大的一个方面来了解冲突的话呢，您还可以看一下字典。
We can get some idea of conflict.
You may find the dictionary.
Yeah.
所以通过阅读字典当中对于冲突的定义的话呢，你也可以了解一些关于
A serious defined conflict.
Sorry.
Means a serious disagreement or argument, typically a protracted one.
A serious disagreement or argument.
Oh, a series of disagreement.
A serious disagreement or argument.
Oh, I see. 顾鲁刚才用手机查了一下，问了一下 Shuri 这个冲突的定义是什么。然后 Shuri 的回答就是这个严重的这样一种一种严重的反对或者严重的不同意。然后就是冲突。
So we do that within our own mind with ourselves, and we do it with others.
所以说的话呢，这样一种严重的、重大的不同意或者是反对的这样一种事情状态的话呢，我们是不仅对自己这样做，然后并且在跟其他人打交道的过程中也是如此。
And it's usually ego based.
并且往往都是基于假我的。
Yeah, so it's our basic needs for survival or to be right.
就我们这种需要生存的基本需求呀，然后或者是觉得自己肯定是对的这样一种需求。
Because the ego, for the ego, survival means to be right.
因为对于假我来说，生存就意味着生存就等同于我是对的。也就是假我就认为我是对的，这就是他才能得以生存下来的这种原因。
Yeah, so some people sometimes they kill each other over small disagreements just to be right.
所以说甚至有时候会发生这样的一些事件，那就是人与人之间发生了巨大的冲突，以至于就是杀死了对方，然后就是由于两人这种冲突都是由于很小的这种口角所引发的，就是由于在争执的过程中，两个人都觉得自己是对的，然后不同意对方的观点，于是就把其中一人就把另一个人给杀了。
OK.
Okay, next one.
Sure.
好，我们来看下一个问题，这个也是数字222开头的奉献者问，还有一个问题，在奉献者内部有一种说法，就是补圈既补上之前没有练的加帕，甚至还有人会问，既然能补圈，那能不能把之后的圈数提前练松？烦请顾鲁就这个问题谈谈加帕，感恩您的讲课和翻译的服务。谢谢这位奉献者。So this devotee is here asking another question, that there's a saying among devotees that if you do not finish your rounds previously or like yesterday, you can catch it up by chanting maybe today, chanting what missed yesterday. And also some people say that since devotees can do that, can like today chant what didn't chant yesterday, the rounds, then they probably can also chant in advance, like today chant tomorrow's rounds in advance. So could you please talk about japa? Thank you.
Well, our promise to the spiritual master is to chant 16 rounds a day.
我向我的灵性导师承诺每天练诵16圈。
Yeah, and Krishna accepts that as a service.
而 Krishna 把我们每天练诵16圈接受为是我们对他所进行的服务。
Yeah, so it's an agreement we have with the spiritual master and Krishna that if we chant 16 rounds a day, Krishna accepts our service, even though we're not pure.
因此这是我们和灵性导师和 Krishna 之间所建立的这样一种这种合约协议，或者叫做同意吧，对，一种协议，那就是如果我们每天练诵16圈的话，那么 Krishna 就会接受我们所做出的这样的服务，即便我们都还不纯粹，即便我们所做的都不是纯粹的奉献服务。
So we should never break that promise.
因此我们应该永远都不打破这一承诺。
And if we keep our promise, then the spiritual master and Krishna are pleased.
而如果我们一直遵循这样的承诺的话，那么就会，那么我们的灵性导师和 Krishna 都会对我们感到很开心，都会被我们取悦。
And that's how we make advancement.
而这就是我们取得进步的方式方法。
It could be 4 rounds or 64 rounds.
也有可能会是四圈，也有可能会是六次四圈。
That's not the important point.
所以说这个，所以说这个具体Sorry, Gumaji, what is not the important point? You mean
that? The number of rounds actually is not the important, that's not the reason we make advancement.
Oh, 实际上我们练的圈数，我们每天练的圈数，这个圈数的多少并不是我们得以取得进步的重要的因素。
Yeah, pure devotional service means to serve Krishna in a way that's pleasing to him.
纯粹的奉爱服务指的就是我们以 Krishna 如意的方式，如他所愿，取悦他的方式来服务 Krishna。
So by the mercy of the spiritual master, we've entered into an agreement with Krishna that if I chant 16 rounds, he'll accept my service.
而经由灵性导师的仁慈，我们得以进入到和 Krishna 之间的这样一种这种协约，或者叫合约，或者叫协议的关系之中，那就是如果我们每天念诵十六圈的话，那么 Krishna 就会接受我们的服务。
So each day we have this opportunity to serve our spiritual master and please Krishna.
因此每一天我们都有这样的一个机会，能够去服务灵性导师，并取悦 Krishna.
By chanting 16 rounds.
通过念诵十六圈。
So we should never neglect that.
因此我们应该永远都不去忽略做出的这样一个承诺。
But sometimes accidents happen.
但有时候的话呢，确实意外会发生。
Or something beyond our control happens.
或者是某个超出我们控制范围之外的事情发生了。
Maybe you have a health crisis.
比如说健康身体出现危机。
Or for some reason, that particular day, you couldn't chant 16 rounds.
或者是由于某个特定特殊的原因，导致你那天就是没法练完16圈。
In that case, you're allowed to make it up.
那么在这样的一种状况下的话呢，你就可以能够稍后补上你的圈数。
But it shouldn't become a habit.
但是的话呢，这却不应该是成为一种习惯。
If you make that a habit, then gradually you'll lose your connection with Krishna and the spiritual master.
而如果你真的有了这样的一种习惯的话，那么慢慢的你就会失去和灵性导师和 Krishna 之间的连接。
Yeah, so we should, what to speak of, yeah. So that's the one part. Now, as far as chanting, you know, 64 rounds today and then taking off,for the next 4 days and not chanting any rounds, that also is not acceptable.
这是说到的一点，而另一点来说，就是比如说如果今天练够64圈，然后接下来的四天的话呢都不练了，那么这也是不被接受的。
No, it's 16 rounds a day.
就是一天16圈。
That means every day we should sit downwith no other distraction and just be with the holy name. That's an opportunity for us. It's something we need.
Something we need. Yes. 所以说每一天的话呢，这就是我们得找一段时间坐下来，然后不被其他任何的事物所打扰，然后就是坐在那里和圣灵在一起。那么这是一种很了不起的机会。同时这也是我们非常需要的。
It's our promise to the spiritual master and Krishna, and also it helps us keep our spiritual strength and momentum.
这是我们对 Krishna, 对灵性导师所做出的承诺，但同时的话呢，这也能帮助我们去增强，去维系和增强我们的灵性上的连接。
Yeah, every day we have to sit down with our monkey mind, and force it to hear the holy name.
所以我们每天都必须和自己像猴子一般的心意一起坐下来，然后强迫这猴子般的心意去聆听圣灵。
So over, you know, over a lifetime, you'll feel that, you know, you'll experience, you know, the mercy of Krishna and the spiritual master.
嗯，而就这样坚持一辈子的话，你就最终会体验到的 Krishna 和灵性导师的仁慈。
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Next one.
Yeah.
好，我们来看下一个问题。这位叫 Raja 的奉献者问顶拜古鲁，感谢翻译。只有潘大瓦五兄弟和 Bhishma 祖父少数人知道 Krishna 是至尊人格守神吗？为什么？So this devotee is asking that only the Pandava brothers, the five Pandava brothers and Bhishma, only those very few people know that Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead, right?Why is that?
Well, that's not true.
嗯，
for one.
嗯，首先并不是只有潘道尔五兄弟和毕士马老祖父等少数人才知道 Krishna 是至尊人格守神的，并不是这样。
There are many people know that Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead.
嗯，很多人都知道 Krishna 是至尊人格守神。
But they're also all playing their part.
但同时的话呢，他们也扮演好了自己的角色。
But there are the twelve Mahajans who are authorities on devotional service, and Bhishma is one of them.
关于奉爱服务的话呢，有十二位 Mahajan， 十二位伟大的灵魂，他们是最为了解这个奉爱服务的，而 Bhishma 主父就是其中的一位。
Yeah, so this is mentioned by Yamaraj when he's instructing the Yamadutas.
这一点的话呢，是在阎罗王给予他的命令执行官 Yamaduta 们训示的时候，他就提到了这一点。
Yes, it's interesting. He doesn't even include Vyasadeva.
这倒是挺有趣的，因为当时在他提到这十二位马哈将的时候，他都没有说到 Vyasadeva。
Anyway, here are the 12 authorities, you know, on the, you know, on devotional service and knowing Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
好，我们you mean you're going to list all the names, right?
Yes.
所以说我们现在一起来看一下这十二位马哈将，十二位伟大的灵魂，关于奉爱服务以及关于了解 Krishna 是至尊人格守神这一方面的权威人物有哪些？
Swayambhur Narada Sambhu Komara Kapilo Manu Prahlado Janako Bhishmo Balir Vyasukir Vayam Lord Brahma
第一位就是主梵天
Narada Muni Lord Shiva
主 Shiva
The Four Kumaras
库马尔斯兄弟
Lord Kapila
以及主 Kapila
Swayambhuva Manu
Swayambhuva Manu
Prahlad Maharaj
Prahlad Maharaj
Janaka Maharaj
Janaka Maharaj
Grandfather Bhishma
然后就是 Bhishma 祖父
Bali Maharaj Sukadev Goswami
然后就是 Sukadev Goswami
and Yamaraj
以及就是 Yamaraj 阎罗王
They know the real principles of religion which is to surrender to Krishna the Supreme Personality of Godhead
他们就知晓宗教的真正的核心原则，那就是向 Krishna 臣服。
So and there were many of course there are many people on the battle of Kurukshetra who didn't realize that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Oh, many people on the battlefield didn't know that Krishna is the Supreme Lord.
No.
Oh, 所以说当时在库鲁之野上有很多人的话呢，确实不知道 Krishna 就是至尊人格守神。
Yeah, and when Krishna, you know, appeared as a young boy in the wrestling arena of Kamsa, you know, that the crowds, many people in the crowd saw him very differently.
Many people in the crowds are what?
Their vision of Krishna was very different. Their understanding of Krishna was very different.
并且当 Krishna 就是作为一个很年轻的小男孩出现在康萨的这个摔跤的这个摔跤的那个场地上的时候，有很多当时在场的旁观的那些人，他们对于 Krishna 的这个视角，就在他们眼里 Krishna 是很不一样的。
Yeah, so some just saw him as a young boy.
有些人当时在场旁观的，有些人就只是把 Krishna 当作是一个看作是一个很年轻的一个小男孩。
And the yogis, they saw him as Paramatma.
而瑜伽师 yogi 却把那个小男孩看作是超灵 Paramatma.
And most of the inhabitants of Vrindavan, they just saw him as Krishna. They didn't see him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
而文达文的很多的居民的话呢，在他们眼中 Krishna 就是 Krishna， 然后就是一个他们最爱的这个牧牛童，都不是至尊人格守神。
Even if once in a while they did realize that Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they'd soon forget it by the influence of Yoga Maya.
Yoga Maya. 而即便可能时不时的文达文的居民们可能突然间想起哦 ，Krishna 是至尊人格守神，但是很快的，由于这个 Yoga Maya 的影响的话呢，他们又立刻忘记了这一点。
Yeah, so it's true. You know, there were some fighters on the battlefield that didn't understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
是的，确实如此。在这个库鲁切特拉，在库鲁之野上的一些很多的战士的话呢，这些士兵并不了解 Krishna 就是至尊人格守神。
But Bhishma Dev is in a unique, you know, special category of devotee.
但是 Bhishma 老祖父却是属于这个奉献者the special categories of devotees, right?
Yeah.
确实属于奉献者的特殊的一类，是很特殊的一类奉献者当中的一员。
Yeah, so he's one of the authorities on, you know, Sanatan Dharma.
他是对于 Sanatan Dharma 的权威人物之一。
Okay,
next one.
Yeah.
Hari Vansa Das 这位塔布问道：顶拜咕噜，我近来在陕西宝鸡这边也有本书，历史1700多年前的故事《三国演义》，当地人也把里面的人物称为半神人，这是不是也有可能 ？So Hari Vansa Das, offering his obeisances unto you and saying that recently I've been living in Baoji, which you have been there, and he says that here there's also a historical book, describing the stories that happening 1700 years ago, and it's called Three Kingdoms. So, you know, the describing the history in ancient China. So the locals also would refer the figures in the book, which is called the Three Kingdoms, as demigods. Is that possible that this kind of sayings true, that the people in the stories which are historical figures actually are demigods?
Well, it's very, very hard to tell. I guess only, you know, a Chinese Indian scholar would be able to tell you. A Chinese Buddhist Hindu Indian scholar.
Chinese Buddhist Indian scholar. 确实是很难去判断，很难去了解这个到底是不是真的如此，就需要是一个这种中国的专家，然后非常了解佛学呀，非常了解这个中国古代历史啊，然后以及很了解印度的这些历史的一位专家级别的人物才能去判断呢。
Yeah, because you know, for centuries, Chinese culture and Indian culture, you know, there was some trade and communication.
因为有好几个世纪以来，可能几百年的话，在过往的历史中，中国的文化和印度的文化都曾经发生过贸易往来。
And the Buddhist teaching is very much influenced by Hindu teaching.
而佛教的教导的话呢，又很大的受到了印度教的这个教导的影响。
Yeah, so Indian culture is greatly influenced Chinese culture.
所以说的话呢，印度的文化就极大的影响了中国的文化。
Yeah, so a lot of times, you know, these myths, or historical myths, you know, become merged and sometimes they are based, you know, maybe in Vedic knowledge and maybe not. It's hard to tell.
Based on what?
Vedic knowledge.
Oh, okay. Okay, these myths. 而很多时候的话呢，这些就是神话传说，然后历史上的这些事件的话呢，这些神话传说又跟历史事件融合到了一起，然后有可能是基于伟达知识的，有可能不是，所以这就很难去判断了。
So, you know, it's very hard to tell, but, you know, maybe Chinese Indian scholars could, maybe trace out some connection, you know, to the original Vedic version.
Vedic version. 所以说的话呢，确实很难去辨别，这就需要这个印度和中国方面的专家，这些学者来追溯，这两者之间的渊源，这两者之间的这样一种联系，然后看一看是不是真的是能够追溯到原初的伟达经的教导或者伟达文献当中的一些记录的。
Yeah, so basically there's no way to know.
所以基本上来说就是没有办法能够确切的知道了。
Okay,
next one. There are more.
Many more?
One, two, three...four.
Okay.
Yeah, four. Okay. 我们再往下来看。小小的仆人，小小仆人问道，感恩咕噜，感恩翻译，请教咕噜，我一直有一个疑惑。原本对他 Rashtra 应该是国王，但由于天生目盲不能当国王。为什么在潘度去世之后他又可以当国王？如果他能当国王的话，他的儿子继承王位也是应该的。为什么 Arjuna 兄弟认为这个国王应该他们继承，而不是 Duryodhana？ 是因为 Duryodhana 品性邪恶，而 Arjuna 兄弟品性善良， Krishna 想要那么做吗？So this devotee is asking that I have always had this question that Dhritarashtra was originally the king, but because he was blind,then he couldn't be the king. Then how come that after the Pandu passed away, then he can become the king? He can become the king. If he can be the king, then his sons can also inherit the crowns, right? Then why do Arjuna, the Pandava five brothers, think that this king should inherit the crown, but not Duryodhan? Is it because Duryodhan is evil person, and while Arjuna, the five Pandavas are kind, decent people, and so Krishna wants that?
Yeah, I think you don't need to overthink it.
也不需要想得太多。
Yeah, I mean, it's just... You know, Pandu was given the king by his father. He was given the kingdom by his father, so he became the rightful king.
Pandu, 他之所以能够成为国王的话，是由于他的父亲把王位传给了他，因此的话呢，他就是有权，当时就继承了王位，成为了国王。
But then when he died, you know, his brother Dhritarashtra had to take over the kingdom because the Pandavas were...You know, too young.
而当潘度去世的时候，他的兄弟Dhritarashtra 就继承了这个王国，因为当时的话呢，他这个潘度的孩子们，这个儿子们还非常的年幼。
Yeah, so that was, you know, that was the procedure, you know. For how the kingdom was handed down.
所以这个就是关于王国是如何继承的， 王位是如何传下去的这样一个程序就是这样子的。
So it was understood that Dhritarashtra was just a temporary king until the Pandavas were old enough to rule.
所以说的话呢，当时是被众人所知晓的一点，那么被众人所知晓的一点，那就是 Dhritarashtra 他是临时的这个接替了这个王位，相当于是代理国王，然后等到这个潘达瓦五兄弟年长成人之后，然后他就需要把这个王位交出来。
So maybe you've heard the phrase power corrupts and absolute power corrupts you absolutely.
Absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Power corrupts. And absolute power corrupts absolutely.
所以可能你听说过这样一种说法，这个是英文当中的一种说法哈，那就是权力都会崩溃，权力都会崩塌，然后而绝对权力的话，绝对就会崩塌。
So, you know, as soon as Dhritarashtra, you know, became king, he and his sons became very attached, you know, to that power.
所以说一旦当 Dhritarashtra 登上王位之后，他以及他的儿子们就变得非常执着于那个王位。
So even though they knew the dharmic thing to do, the correct thing to do was to give the kingdom to the Pandavas when the Pandavas became of age, instead, immediately they tried to kill the Pandavas in many different ways.
所以即便他们都知道这个正确的做法，这种 dharmic 的这种做法，就是把王国要交还给这潘达五兄弟，当他们就是成年之后，但是的话呢，他们却由于他们的这种执念的话呢，确实寻找各种各样的方式来想要杀死这潘达瓦五兄弟。
But they were always protected by Krishna.
但是潘达瓦五兄弟总是受到 Krishna 的保护。
So eventually, because Dhritarashtra wouldn't give back the kingdom to the Pandavas, wanted to give it to his sons, eventually there was no other alternative but to fight.
所以说最终的话呢，Dhritarashtra 就是不愿意把这个王位，就是这个王国交还给潘达瓦五兄弟，然后只想给到他的儿子。因此的话呢，他们别无选择，就只能上战场去作战。
And they did try to negotiate.
并且他们确实也是尝试过想要去谈判的。
Krishna himself was a mediator.
而 Krishna 当时就是作为谈判的调解人。
And the Pandavas said, okay, we won't take the kingdom, just give us some land to rule.
当时潘达瓦五兄弟就说，我们不需要这个整个王国，只需要你给予我们一些土地，让我们去掌管就可以了。
You know, give us a city or a state to rule, and we'll let you rule the rest of the kingdom. But they said, no, you can't even have one little piece of land.
然后潘达瓦五兄弟说，就给我们一座小城市或者一个州，让我们去统治吧。然后但是的话，就他 Rashtra 确实连一小片土地都不愿意给到他们。
So that's just, you know, history that's there in the Mahabharata.
所以说刚才谈到的就是 Mahabharata 当中所写到的历史。
So the Pandavas were entitled to the kingdom.
所以说潘达五兄弟是有权利继承王国的。
Okay.
Okay, next one. 我们来看下一个问题。这位叫吴秀红的奉献者问：顶拜古鲁莲花祖，顶拜奉献者呢 ，Hare Krishna， 感恩精彩讲课。我也经历 Arjuna 的类似的痛苦，阅读了《薄伽梵歌》原意好几遍，今天听了古鲁的讲解，心里更明亮了。感恩您，如果我儿子能早日阅读《薄伽梵歌》原意，能自愿进来听课就好了。祈祷圣主仁慈。So this devotee Mataji is basically sharing that she's offering her obeisances onto your lotus feet, and thank you for the wonderful lecture. And I have also experienced a similar dilemma, similar pain that Arjuna has been through. So I have read several times of the Bhagavad Gita, and today, after, means last week, that after hearing your explanation, that I feel more light within my heart. I'm very thankful to you. If my son could read the Bhagavad Gita as it is, as early as possible, then he would voluntarily come to hear the lecture. That would be so wonderful. I pray for the mercy of the Lord.
Well, I pray that the Lord fulfills your desire.
我祈祷主能够满足您的愿望。
Thank you for your kind words.
也非常感谢您这么仁慈的话语。Okay, next one. 好，我们来看下一个。下一个奉献者王文燕阿卡莎 Dave 卡，这位奉献者问：顶拜咕噜，反正我们莲花族不敢当顶拜咕噜的莲花族启迪后是不是不能吃一丁点外面的饭，也就是非奉献者做的饭？So this devotee is offering his or her obeisances onto your lotus feet and saying that, is it totally forbidden to devotees should not eat non-devotees food after initiation, right?
Well, before or after? Yes, best to avoid.
所以说启迪前启迪后的话呢都是最好能够避免，就是不要去吃非奉献者做的饭。
But practically speaking, as householders, especially if you're out working or if you're a preacher, traveling to different people's homes, sometimes you have to accept the foods that non-devotees make.
但是的话呢，从实际的角度来看，如果你是居士，比如说你的工作要求你必须外出旅行出差，然后或者你是要四处去传教的话，那么你不得不要到不同的别人的家里面去拜访，然后去传教传播知识，那么有的时候你就必须得去接受非奉献者做的饭菜。
Yeah, so you have to be practical.
所以说必须要必须要讲究实际。
I like what the Bible says.
我喜欢圣经当中的一句话。
You should be more concerned about what comes out of your mouth than what goes in it.
圣经当中有这样一句话，就是说你应该更加去在意从你嘴巴里冒出来的是什么，或者流出来的是什么，而不是进到你嘴巴里面的是什么东西。
So anyway, you know, sometimes at family get-togethers or going out, meeting business clients or even going to, preach to people in their homes, non-devotees, sometimes you're in a situation where you have to eat food that's cooked by non-devotees. Of course, you don't want to eat fish or eggs, but we always avoid that. But sometimes we have to accept what people make for us.
所以说总的来说就是有时候你需要跟家人聚在一起，然后或者是你不得不去见你的客户，然后或者是你必须要到非奉献者的家里面去向人家传播这个知识，那么在这样的一些状况下的话呢，就不得不去接受非奉献者做的饭菜。当然的话我们总是会去避免去吃到这个鱼和蛋的，但是的话呢在这样一些情况下，就你可能就不得不去接受非奉献者做的饭。
Okay.
Okay, next one.
How many more?
One more.
Okay, because I gotta go.
Oh, there's two more just coming up, so we...
I might save those for next week, then.
Okay, so we answer the last one from last week?
Yeah.
Okay, 好，我们来看上个星期问的最后一个问题，然后今天还看到有两位奉献者发上来问题，所以说今天的两位的问题的话就只有留到下个星期了。所以上个星期的最后一个问题，这个手机号的留的，普萨丹对修行有多大的价值？阅读、聆听与吃 prasada 哪个分量更重？So this devotee is asking that how much value can prasada bring to our spiritual life? So which is more important, reading and listening to the scripture or eating prasada?
It's all equally important because we get, unlimited benefit from all So, and we need all the mercy we can get.
所以说阅读、聆听和吃 prasadam 是同等重要的，因为我们，因为他们都能带来无穷无尽的益处，而我们是需要去得到自己能够得到的所有的仁慈。
And the, you know, each way we're associating with Krishna and getting purified.
而且无论是阅读、聆听还是荣耀 prasadam， 那么我们都是在和 Krishna 联谊，都是在从 Krishna 那里得到仁慈。
Right, so when we're reading Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says we're worshipping him with our intelligence.
当我们阅读《薄伽梵歌》的时候 ，Krishna 就说我们是在用我们的智力来崇拜他，就是通过阅读《薄伽梵歌》。
And when we take prasadam, Krishna says we get three things.
而当我们荣耀普沙朗的时候，Krishna说我们就得到了三个东西。
Prasade sarva dukanam hanu yashapajayate prasana chaitasanya subhuti parya pasishite. First, we get freed of all of our suffering.
首先我们得到的第一个事物就是从所有的痛苦当中解脱出来。
And we find inner satisfaction.We begin to experience the satisfaction of being a spirit soul.
然后我们就会得到一种内在的满足感，我们就会对感受到自己是作为一个灵性的灵魂的存在而所带来的这样一种满足感。
And then we get spiritual intelligence, how to make advancement on the path of bhakti.
然后的话，我们就会得到灵性上的智力，就会明白自己该如何做，能够在这一条灵性之路上继续走下去。
Yeah, so you know, Bhagavad Gita or Prasadam, which is better? They're both equal. Prabhupada said, if somebody even touches one of his books, they're benefited.
所以说薄伽梵歌和 Prasadam 的话呢，哪一个更重要？那他们两者都是同等重要的。Prabhupada曾经说过，即便一个人只是触碰到了薄伽梵歌这本书的。触碰到他，那么他都会受益的。
But many people are not inclined to read Prabhupada's books or can't even understand them, so better give them prasadam.
但是而有些人的话呢，可能都没有这种想要读书的这种倾向，然后可能就觉得读着书就读不懂。那么所以更好的方法的话呢，就是给予他们 prasadam。
But if you can appreciate reading Prabhupada's books and you can appreciate taking prasadam, then you should do both.
但是的话，如果你既能够去欣赏帕帕的书籍，能够想要去阅读帕帕的书，同时的话呢，你也很欣赏，很想要去荣耀 prasadam 的话呢，那就是两者都要做到咯。
Sorry to rush along, but I do have to go now. I thank everybody for their questions, and I'm looking forward to being with you next week when we read chapter one.
所以说由于时间关系的话呢，我现在不得不要离开了。非常感谢大家提出的这些问题，然后非常感谢大家的参与。我们下个星期的话呢，就一起来阅读《薄伽梵歌》的第一章。
All glories to Prabhupada and all glories to the assembled Vaishnavas.
所有的荣耀都归帕帕，所有的荣耀都归于聚在一起的奉献者们。
And thank you, Narayani Mataji, for your translation and Sumukhi Radha.
感谢，嘿嘿，感谢 Sumukhi Radha Devi Dasi Mataji.
Narayani Mataji, that sounds so funny, saying that to my daughter, but anyway.
Hare Krishna, Kumaraji. 外昆塔之音服务源于聆听，各位尊敬的奉献者，讲课就到这里结束了，愿大家有美好的知觉的一天。